Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The sea has never been friendly to man. At most, it has been the accomplice of human restlessness. Joseph Conrad. Welcome to Grimley.
What's the joke?
It was meant to be sexual.
I'll have some, thanks.
Okay.
Pull up here. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Can't make any windows at you and then not fill up your wine glass.
How dare you?
Right? Are we recording?
We are recording.
Oh, shit. And I feel like we haven't recorded in a long time, and I don't know why I feel that way, but I'm like excited to be here. Yeah.
And I just realized I didn't.
Oh, because you just took your sweatshirt off.
I was like, yeah, why did I
usually get a little hot when I'm talking?
Well, no, that's fair.
Yeah, no, it says no kings, no fascists, no tyrants, no Nazis.
Boston Tea Party-esque.
And that's new.
Yeah.
For the no kings, like, what was that?
I was in Europe
the protest.
When that happened,
the protest. I was like, what
Speaking
was all
of,
that?
I forgot. I just remember you. I bought you one of these.
I didn't buy you this shirt, but I bought you a shirt.
Because
look at the shirt. Okay. Look at the shirt.
Okay.
That's your fucking cat.
Oh
that
god,
is your fucking
is.
Cat.
Oh my god, it does look like her with the eyes too. Yeah. Fluffy, it's the Oh my god. Dave is gonna love this. He's
I know.
Gonna die. I can't wait to
show
him.
Not really necessarily your style, but I was
No,
like,
I love it. Thank you.
You're
that
welcome.
Is so crazy. The thing
I was reading on the website. I was like,
I didn't know that you brought this.
I forgot I brought it.
It sounded like you forgot. And then you just took your cool. Your shirt was so cool that when you took your sweatshirt off, I was like moved by it enough to interrupt the podcast to talk about it. And then you pulled a fucking second one out of your bag. Like,
with your cat on it.
Yes.
And it's wearing a little crown. It's and
amazing.
It's kicking like an orange
I
thing.
Love
this
it.
Is no. It's really cute.
I mean, honestly, is gift giving your love language?
It is.
Okay.
I'm a really good gift giver.
Oh my God. I'm really, really, really bad at it. I'm a fucking dick.
We should work on this. You need to train me.
Anyway, I like it. Thank you.
It was definitely
fun.
Yeah. I also bought another one that says.
I like that one too.
That it's like a skull and crossbones. It's black.
Wow.
And it says,
okay.
FTD, fuck Donald Trump.
Oh,
and it says
girl.
8647. Like
oh,
restaurant
okay.
lingual.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was buying these two shirts, and then I saw that shirt,
and it's because
because it's fucking Stella, your
I
cat.
Was you and I saw this, I could not do it either because it is the spinning image of her, and
right,
it captures the energy. And
it really, really does.
All right. Well, welcome to Grimley.
Welcome to Grimley. We are two unserious people that talk about seriously creepy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And yeah, we're still working on the intro.
No, we got it.
We got nailed it. I think we're still trying to figure out. I don't know.
We should just carry on
as
if this didn't happen. I don't think we need to thank you because you pulled a t-shirt.
No.
Oh, we need to thank you.
There was something I wanted to say.
I'll remember now what you wanted to say.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Because I went to a wedding last night.
Yes. I was like, there was something.
There was something.
To address.
I have a hot take. Hot take.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe hot take for some people. I think maybe it'll be a point of contention for some other people.
Probably not anyone who'd be listening to this podcast.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But so I went to a wedding last night. But they said that they would prefer not to have children at the wedding in like some very nice verbiage, right?
What was the verbiage? Because
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. I heard a lot about it.
And
it sounded nice.
Yeah, it was like, can you not, maybe,
like,
you know.
If you need to, you can, but.
Right. Mm-hmm. My thing is if there's any, like, hint from a couple that they don't want kids at the wedding, you don't bring kids to the wedding, period. And they were being nice. And I get it. Kids at weddings, people enjoy. They think it's cute.
Like,
to look at kids at weddings. Sorry, I...
Oh, no, this is on that gets canceled. She was wearing a weird, same unhinged shit.
It felt so wrong, like, when I heard it. No.
Kids are the light at weddings. That's
what Yeah, and I get it for some people. But for me, it's just every time there was, like, a... Not at this wedding specifically. There was a moment, but... Kids just, like, don't have the social etiquette to know when they have to be quiet.
Okay. Oh, so, like, during speeches and things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Or, like, maybe you don't go, kids should be, like, running around. I've seen, like, videos of, like, kids running around during, like, people's first dance and, like...
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it's more about the parents, I guess, in the long run. But it just, for me...
Probably, yeah.
My
Or, like, hot a particular take. Type of child. I right. feel like there's all types of children.
Right. But my hot take is if the couple says any... semblance hint of like don't bring your fucking kids, you had months to plan.
That's true.
To find you do child months care.
Usually. Yeah, that's true.
Like, they give you a save the date and then they give you point. An invitation.
You're right.
Like, you have a long time to figure that out.
That is
for
true.
Yourself.
That's true. But however, we don't have kids, so
we don't have kids.
I don't know.
It just it always bugs me. Honestly, if people were like, I don't care if you bring your kids, then that's your choice. It bugs me when people are like, hey, like, could you not?
Yeah.
People choose to just do it anyway. But it's just, I don't know. Just like, listen, just, you got invited for a reason. Be respectful. It's just, it's like, for me, it's like the same thing as wearing like jeans to a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, okay. like sneakers. Like, you don't have a collared shirt, man. Mm. You know,
there's always one in the bunch.
There's always one. And I'm like,
it's a dude, by the way.
It's always a fucking dude. Yes. Or I guess the equivalent is like a woman wearing white.
Oh, that's true.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. I was about to make it sad for a second. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, it's just like have some goddamn etiquette. Wedding etiquette, I guess. Is...
Wedding etiquette. Wedding
mm-hmm. etiquette. Okay. Be respectful. Okay. These people know this party.
That's true.
They paid a lot of money for this party.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, and if I'm going.
You better pay a lot of money if I'm going.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But the wedding I went to, a man dry humped a candle on the dance floor. That was when it was well past 2 a.m. And I was like, I'm going to go to bed now because there's a group of people dancing in a circle around a candle. And then this man straddled it.
Like a big candle?
Yeah. You know, like the ones that you would get. Oh, no. Okay, you know, like the ones that you would get at, like the two wick candle mm-hmm. that you would get at, like, whatever that fucking store
William
is.
Sonoma or.
No, the one in the mall that smells.
Oh, you Bath & Body Works?
Yes.
Okay.
And don't they have candles there? Or maybe just the candle store. Or the candle store.
Yeah.
I can't go in either of those places. No. Those places.
It's a headache.
I can't believe people work in there.
I don't know how they do it.
No, there's got to be something wrong with their lungs and brain. At the end of the day,
so I'm many like, cents.
Even Sephora. Sorry, now I'm on a tangent.
Yeah,
I'm on a tear. Yeah. Anyway, yes, one of those candles.
Okay.
And then I thought, I've seen enough.
You're like, this is my cue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was like, do I stay a little later? The party's still going.
Right. Or,
but I'm also ready for bed. It's like 2:30.
Yeah,
it might have been 3:30 even, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but that was enough. Then I went to bed. It was great. And even that didn't bother me.
Yeah. He was just like, I've seen enough.
Noted.
I'm gonna go.
I said, thank you for the cue. I'm ready to go.
Maybe I should just stop being so goddamn judgmental.
Well,
I'm just judgmental.
Just right this minute, but not all the time.
I got
not
some pretty high anything. Standards, I think, for things.
You should I don't know.
I was going to say, you should write a book.
It sounded too mean.
What, write a book about wedding etiquette?
Yes. No, of course not. What are we talking about today? Let's get this fucking show on the road.
Let's get this fucking show on the road. Get me off of this tangent.
Okay.
All right. It began as a simple journey in July of 1968. Four men left the tiny port of El Hierro in the Canary Islands, heading toward the neighboring island of La Palma.
Sounds beautiful.
I know. The sea was calm. Their boat, El Fausto.
El Fausto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Small but sturdy. It should have been routine, but what followed was anything but that. Within days, these men had vanished. The boat was adrift. and a tale was born that would grow into one of the strangest maritime mysteries of the 20th century.
Oh, a maritime mystery.
A nice maritime mystery.
Okay, back, you know, I can't swim, so the maritime stuff is extra spooky.
This one's a really weird one. You haven't heard the story before?
I might have. I never know. I don't.
That's true.
This usually takes a while before.
Very rarely am I like, yes.
You're like, oh, right.
Sometimes it jogs the memory. Mm-hmm. I'll get it. Mm-hmm.
Something gets shooken up in there, and you're like, oh, yeah, there it is.
There it is.
The Yahtzee dice of your brain.
Well, okay. Sounds like we're off to a beautiful start.
Yes. Canary Islands. Love to go there someday.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So on July 20th, 1968, in the early evening, a 46-foot-long fishing boat called the El Fasto was to set sail from her home port in Tazacortes, La Palma, which is an island in the Canary Islands. And the boat was heading south towards El Hierro Island, and it's going to make delivery of explosives that were going to be used for agriculture. What were using explosives in agriculture? I don't know.
I wonder if it's like very rocky.
Irrigation, maybe? Like you're making a canal for some... Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. I couldn't find any elaboration, like there's what the explosive reasons. Thing was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what, this was the 30s?
1968.
I wasn't listening at all. Again, I have to really pay close attention if the numbers are going to come into play.
I know. But then you never do.
I'm sorry. It's like my brain is doing one thing in the front, and in the back, it's totally somewhere else thinking about... Like, I'm trying to listen, and I'm consciously thinking about something else also.
It's the WB frog back there, like, hello, my baby. Like, with the top hat. Okay, so these two islands are about 50 miles, which is 80 kilometers apart from each other. So it's not, like, a huge journey. It will take a couple hours, though.
Okay. So do you think you can see one island from the other?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know how far someone can see.
Maybe.
Like, a distance.
Maybe
like
a clear day?
Okay, maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we can see the Olympics on a clear day, and those are pretty far.
That's a really good point.
So.
Okay. Sure, I bet you could.
Yeah, you probably can. So the El Fausto was a fishing vessel, but the owner, Rafael Acosta, would also use it as a form of delivery between the archipelago of the Canary Islands.
Sure.
So he's using it as a fishing boat. He was also like, you can rent it for deliveries if you need it. It seemed like a very common practice in this area at this time. And... this is supposedly a picture of it. It feels very recent for it to be a picture of it, but I don't know if it was like fixed.
Okay, it looks like a fishing boat, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fishing boat. It's a 46-foot long fishing boat.
It
looks very new. This picture looks very
new.
Can
I say it one more time?
Yes.
The thing about it is like, oh God. I don't swim. And so like the sides weren't very high on it, probably, so you can like pull stuff over.
Mm-hmm.
But if things started to go wrong, that's not a boat I'd be like, I feel super safe in this.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, I'm already creeped.
Because it's meant to not be seafaring.
Yeah.
It's meant to be like between, kind of islands.
Yeah, closer to the shoreline.
Yeah. Right. You should be able to see shore from these boats. Oof. I would say.
Scary. Okay. I'm already scared.
On board the ship were three experienced sailors named Ramon and Alberto Hernandez, who were brothers. And then along with those two, there was their cousin, Miguel Acosta.
Okay.
And there was usually a fourth person on board, too, who was Miguel's brother. So it was like two sets of brothers and they were cousins.
Okay.
But that brother, the other brother, I can't remember his name.
Okay.
He's not part of the story because he was actually working at like a festival that was happening.
Or he volunteered.
He got very lucky, unfortunately. So all three of these men were in their mid-40s, and Rafael had worked with these men. Rafael's the boat owner. He had worked with these men on this ship for decades, and all of them had been sailors since they were teenagers.
Sure. Okay.
So they're experienced, right? Mm-hmm. So Rafael knew that the El Fausto was in good hands, and the delivery they were doing that day was very routine, and the destination and route the crew was taking was also one they had used hundreds of times before. So, nothing out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather was also very clear. The waters were calm. There was said to be a light mist.
Huh.
But that was about it.
All right.
When they, like, left in the evening. So, the ship, she makes her destination at a port on El Hierro. It's called Frontera.
Okay.
And it was about 7 hours later when they left from Tazacortes. So the ports on the north shore of El Hierro Island, and the three men begin unloading the delivery of explosives. And while they're unloading the cargo and loading up the boat with fruit being taken back to Tazacortes, the men are approached by another man who lived in Tazacortes, and his name is Julio Garcia. Julio was 27, and he was a mechanic who had recently gotten a job as an irrigation maintenance chief on El Hierro. So he would kind of, it seems like he would stay over on El Hierro for a while and then like catch a ferry. There was a ferry system.
Oh, okay.
But it didn't go every day.
Okay,
so sure. He would catch the ferry, get back to it, because he had a wife and kids Tazacortes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and so Julio approaches these men, and he's like, my wife just called me. Our two-month-old baby daughter is sick, and I'm worried. And he tried to catch the ferry, but
it wasn't for right away.
He couldn't get...
Sure,
he didn't catch it, essentially, so it left without him. And it wasn't going to run again for another couple days.
Okay, totally, yeah.
So he approaches these men in a bit of a bind. He says that he will pay them, either in cash or cigarettes. He's like, I'll give you whatever. Can you just give me back to Tazacortes, right? And it doesn't seem like he knew these men before this, but they were like, you don't have to pay us. Like, you can come on board. It's totally fine. We're going back to Tazacortes. We're loading up right now.
Yeah.
Feel free to come with us.
Yeah, okay. And it's not days worth of, like, food and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like... the decent thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, he was worried about his kid.
I see no red flags.
Yeah, so exactly. Far. Exactly. And so the El Fausto, now with the fruit that they had loaded up in Julio on board.
What kind of fruit?
I'm assuming citrus.
Oh.
I don't know. Like,
was it bananas and pineapple? I don't know what kind.
I don't think so.
Citrus.
I feel like that's very.
I just want it to be tropical.
In my brain, it's like blood oranges.
Okay.
Yeah. Great question. I didn't look it up.
It's so really random. I'm just like, oh, fruit. Oh, I love a good citrus.
That's my favorite thing about going to like a warm tropical vacation is like, what are these fruits?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, carry on.
What is this random item here? Okay. Yes. So El Fausto, it's now leaving El Hierro. It's beginning to set sail back up to Tazacortes at 2:30 in the morning on July 21st, 1968. However, these four men would never make the journey back home.
Well, I thought you might say that.
I know. I'm sorry. So the Fausto was supposed to arrive in Tazacortes around 10 a.m. on July 21st. So it takes about 7 to 8 hours to sail back between these two islands.
So it's an overnight, like a red eye.
Pretty much.
Sail back.
Yeah. Okay. And it seems like they probably all take turns, like sleeping and, you know, operating the boat. So... when it doesn't arrive back on Tazacortes around 10 a.m., Rafael, the owner of the boat, the El Fausto, he sends out other employees on other boats to retrace the route, essentially.
Okay.
And he's like, they should be taking this route. Mm-hmm. It's the El Fausto. Like, I know who's on there. Like, they're very experienced. He's like, something's up. And he's thinking that maybe the vessel had some sort of, like, mechanical problem.
Yeah.
And
they're just kind of floating around.
Yeah, they're just kind of like bobbing around, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no sign of the ship.
Okay.
On the route. So there had been zero weather incidents besides that light mist I mentioned. Some sort of like weather-based accident doesn't really make sense here. So everyone's just confused where the hell's the El Fausto, right? Mm-hmm. So then Rafael then contacts SAR, Search and Rescue. And the El Fausto is now officially a missing vessel. So planes are flown from above and other boats are sent out all over the Canary Islands, but the boat is just gone.
Oh, they sent planes out and they couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So for 4 days, friends and family of the men begin fearing the worst. So the predominant theory is now that the ship has sunk somehow.
Oh, no.
And that is why there's no sign of it.
Okay.
But even if the ship hadn't sunk, it wouldn't have had a ton of provisions because these guys were just hopping islands.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have like weeks of fresh water or food. Like they have the fruit, right? And that's great. But
yeah,
that's about it. And this is a picture of the four men.
Oh. I'm not going to
say it.
Yeah, I was.
Waiting. I'm not gonna say it.
Not gonna say it.
I'm gonna be respectful.
Okay.
Oh, they look
like average dudes.
Yeah, they do. You know what? Everyone has a very short, tight haircut, which I think wasn't actually. I mean, that's just interesting,
right? But they have beards.
Very clean cut. Exactly. No beards. Everyone's very clean cut.
I guess in like the 50s and the 60s, beards weren't really a thing.
Yeah. What? This was 68?
Mm-hmm. Because we're young.
It's like damn near the 70s. I don't know. Maybe Europe was like a little different. Less hippy-dippy.
Yeah. I don't think it was as hippy-dippy.
Europe. But this is also... It's like borderline. It's Africa, right? Where the fuck are the Canary Islands?
They're off of Spain.
Spain. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Listen. Don't tell Dave I said that.
You were not a geography
the man
girl.
Loves a globe.
I know. We've talked about this on the podcast.
He loves the globe. I've never been there. So if I had been there, then I would know where they are.
Right.
But I do know that it's like a vacation destination for the British people,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense because it is quite close.
I feel like it's southern Spain.
Yeah, like on the Barcelona side. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've never been over there.
Yeah. So this is when the story gets weirder.
Okay.
So we're going to
buckle up.
Quick break.
Oh.
And then buckle up.
Okay.
Not all paths are straight. Some twist deep into the unknown. Hey, I'm Amanda Joy. And every Thursday, a new episode of Down the Crooked Path beckons. Paranormal stories, strange encounters, and folklore that lingers long after dark. So take a deep breath, grab your flashlight, or let the mysteries guide your steps. Down the Crooked Path, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
So this is when shit gets weird, for lack of a better word. So a few days after the El Faso had gone missing, a British reefer ship... I'm sorry.
What is a reefer ship?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
I mean, is it what we think it is?
I don't think so.
Is it painted like the Mystery Machine?
Let me look it up. Amazing. Okay. I wonder, is it spelled the same way?
It's spelled R-E-F-E-R. Reefer.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Not like as in like reef.
Okay. It is. This is R-E-E-F-E-R. And okay. I Googled it.
Okay.
Is a refrigerated cargo ship typically used to transport perishable cargo, which require temperature-controlled handling, such as fruits, meat, vegetables, dairy products, or similar items.
Okay, so a cheese ship.
Wikipedia
a cheese ship.
Could be a cheese ship, yes.
Yeah. And then imagine it's a cheese ship.
Oh, sounds beautiful. It's even better than what we imagined. Honestly, if it was a reefer ship and a cheese ship, I never get off that boat.
Honestly, I feel like we just opened a business.
We really did. Like a stoner cheese shop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I also came up with a great business idea last night. At the wedding.
Okay. Do we need a trademark?
TM, motherfuckers. I say that to the mic, you know. Because we're at this really nice venue. And it was like at a farm. And I was like, you know, it'd be really cool if you had a dog rescue along with a wedding venue.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, because
Carry on.
Because then you would have like wedding events and then like you have like adoptable dogs.
You wanted to adopt a dog last night?
No.
At the wedding?
I'm just saying that would be really brilliant for a dog rescue to also be a wedding venue, like a beautiful wedding venue.
I guess to me, I'm like, why are there dogs in these people's weddings?
But you don't have to be at the wedding.
Separate. It's a beautiful venue.
Yes.
And also
there's also a dog rescue there.
Don't you think the dogs would tear up the beautiful wedding venue and shit all over it?
You have a separate space, dude.
I don't understand how these things go together. It just sounds like you got two things next to each other.
Can you not shit in my dream?
Sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, no, I apologize.
No, because our friend Jane, she really wants to open a dog rescue.
Okay. But what does that have to do with the wedding?
Because you could have a wedding venue that is bringing in money and bringing in capital.
Got it. Okay.
To fund the dog rescue.
To fund the dog rescue.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so if they have a big enough plot of land.
In proximity to each other.
If you have a big enough plot of land.
Sure.
You can have a wedding venue.
I mean, it sounds like a dream,
and
honestly.
And then a dog rescue. And Lovely. Then at your wedding events, if people want... You can bring over adoptable dogs
to get your dogs adopted.
Wow. That's right? So sweet. Yes, so sweet.
Yeah.
But I am not a doggy person like that. So I'm like, if there's a dog at the wedding and they better be puppies. Just like bridesmaids. I'm like, are you giving them out as party dips? Favors? Then I'm happy with it.
You're like, I don't even need a dog. And I'm like, yes, if you give me a puppy a party, absolutely. I'm sold. But that's not a dog rescue. That's the opposite of a dog rescue.
I mean, there are puppies that need to be rescued too, for sure.
Okay.
So.
Well.
I'm just saying. There is.
Now I want a puppy.
So we have a reefer Cheshire.
Okay.
Yes. And.
I still think that one. Trump's the puppy.
Even if it's puppy,
we got to diversify our portfolios. Okay, diversify the portfolio.
That is an unhinged business.
It's not.
I'm gonna be real. I'm sort of like
this is our charity.
Yes.
Okay.
And like you're paying for this venue, but also a lot of the money for this venue and the money you're paying.
Okay, so
that's an exorbitant amount of money.
We're gonna really get into the weeds here.
Rescue.
Okay. I hear you, but like, is the person mm-hmm. that is looking for a wedding venue,
mm-hmm.
they care more about the wedding venue than they do,
yeah.
like, even a person who loves dogs. Like, yeah. they'd have to be a dog-obsessed
You can freak. Make a beautiful wedding venue.
Okay, well, it would have to be, yeah. Okay, so you think you would have a badass wedding venue
yes.
and just to fund the charity of the yes. dog rescue? I support this. I still think, I'm not sure they need to be in the same property unless you have like a big ass island or something like
what if the dogs are barking and you can hear the dogs barking from the wedding venue?
You have it big enough.
Okay, it's big.
Yeah, it's a all big right. it's a big piece of land.
Oh girl, I hope you're buying property in Ohio or something.
I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm just saying it's a good idea.
I'm sorry, it sounds like the most fantastic idea, the most like caring for dogs idea I've ever heard.
If you know nothing about me from this podcast, it is fuck babies, love dogs.
Honestly, the dogs are allowed in the wedding,
not the children.
Yeah. Was there? Oh, excuse.
It's okay.
Was there a dog at the wedding?
No, they did not bring their dog.
That's why you're cranky.
I'm like, oh my God, am I getting sick?
No, you're just being dramatic.
Horse.
You're a whore.
Sorry.
Stupid. All right, let's get back to the story.
Let's okay. please.
Okay, so a few days after the El Fausto had gone missing, a British reefer ship, that's where we lost us.
So long ago.
Was called the Duquesa.
Okay.
The Duchess in English.
It sounds better in English.
It radios in... I'm probably saying it wrong, let's be real.
I don't want to totally adjust. Wait, where was it? From Spain or is it French?
It's a British...
Then it is English. I don't understand why.
It could have been I don't know. It's spelled Duquesa. Duquesa.
I have no idea how to say that.
All right.
But well, I mean, I don't know where that comes from. We're going to have to look that up.
Anyways, it's called the Duchess.
Okay. Oh my God. Cut it. Pen it all.
You're not. Okay. So this boat, this reefer ship, it radios in just after midnight. So the Duchess was coming back from South Africa en route to the Netherlands when they spot a small fishing boat seemingly adrift.
Okay.
The boat was using a flashlight to signal the Duchess of their location, which was 120 miles, 190 kilometers off route from Tazacortes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, they must have gone way off route somehow.
So the Duchess gets to the boat and confirms it's the El Fausto.
Oh.
With... Miguel, Ramon, Julio, Elbieto, alive.
Oh, great. Okay.
They're dehydrated, they're sunburnt, a little cranky and hungry, but they're alive.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
Oh, wait, this is a weird fucking story.
Okay.
So news of the men being found alive reaches Tazacortes and the rest of the Canary Islands, and everyone is happy and relieved.
Thank God, yeah.
They're like, thank God, right? So with the help of the Spanish-speaking sailors on board the Duchess, they're able to give the men food, water, and cigarettes, because this is the 60s, and they said that they will tow the El Fausto back to Tazacortes. But in a weird twist, the four men tell the Duchess crew that they do not need a tow, they just need to refuel, and they'll get back to Tazacortes themselves.
Oh, okay.
And then the Duchess crew, they push back a little bit and they like try to probe what's wrong with the ship. Like, why are you out here in the first place? And the El Fausto crew brushes them off and doesn't really give them an answer. And they just said they need to be refueled. That's it. They're like, nothing's wrong. We just need some fuel and some water and some food.
Okay.
Weird.
That is strange.
Right? It's like, is it ego? Of like, we don't need help. We're fine.
But we're going to accept.
We're going to take your stuff.
The help?
I don't know.
Okay. Fine.
I don't know.
Okay.
Like, it's like that thing like men don't have to ask for directions.
Yeah. But like, I would imagine if they're headed back home. Uh-huh. Oh, wait, were they going two different directions?
So they, the Duchess is going to the Netherlands.
Oh, so they might not have been headed in the same direction at all.
Mm.
Got it. Because I was like,
maybe like, are we inconveniencing you?
Yeah.
Type of situation. Yeah. But like, they offered. So like, they were asking. They're like, hey, let's just tow you back. And they're like, no.
They don't even have to tow them back there. They could take them wherever the closest
island is. Yeah,
port totally. Or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Duchess crew tries to convince the El Fausto crew to just let them tow them back. They tried for like hours, evidently.
Yeah, okay.
And the El Fausto crew was just like not budging.
That's
like,
weird.
No, okay. It's fine. We don't need to tow. Also, remember, Julio was trying to get back to his wife.
True.
Right? And his baby that was like sick.
God.
And why isn't he like,
about that.
Give me a ride, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like get me off this boat.
When yeah, I can
get
I the go hell with back. You?
Yeah, like, yeah. Right. There wasn't any of that either.
Strange.
Very strange.
All right. So are they like stealing it or something? Or is this all a lie? Go on.
So the Duchess crew does also say that while the El Fausto crew seemed a little shaken by what happened, they all seemed like they were okay mentally.
What happened though? They just like, why are you off course? Why is it four
they
days
just,
later?
Like, wouldn't give them an answer.
How just, many like, kinda, days later? Like 4 or 5?
Like 4 or 5 days yeah. later. Yeah. They're like, they were just brushing it off.
Okay.
Which is really weird.
All right.
So the Duchess gives the El Fausto enough fuel for 18 hours.
Oh, which seems like
mm-hmm.
it seems like double.
More than enough.
Yeah.
So it gives them enough fuel for 18 hours of sailing and plenty of food and provisions to last them the journey back to Tazacortes.
Okay.
Which isn't far.
And Netherlands is far. So like,
yeah,
that was very kind.
They did their due diligence. It's mm-hmm. like, it's a bunch of green flags in this episode.
I know.
So at 7 p.m. on July 25th, the Duchess watches the El Fausto sail back east towards the archipelago.
Okay.
Towards Tazacortes. A little confused and bewildered, but they radio back to Tazacortes of the news. They're like, they have fuel, they have water, they have food, they're heading your direction.
That actually does add credence.
And they're like, yeah. And they're like,
they radioed it back. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we saw them. Mm-hmm. We should send them off.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, we don't know why they didn't want us to tow, but we gave them what we could, right?
Mm-hmm.
So back in Tazacortes, almost the entire town went to the port and the docks to wait for the arrival of the El Fausto crew. There was wine flowing, there was music playing. It was like a goddamn party.
Mm.
Well, we would love to be at that party. Once again, time travel party hop.
This is the one. Bookmark it.
Maybe not this one. So around 9 p.m., the El Fausto was still not back. Friends of the family members who were waiting at the port told them not to worry, that they would be back soon. They're like, it's probably just taking longer than we anticipated, but they're just still not back. So not wanting to miss the arrival, the family of the crew slept at the docks, but the next day, the El Fausto was still not on the horizon.
Wow.
She was once again lost at sea.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is going on? Right?
I don't know.
So once again, another SAR mission begins. And this time there's help from the mainland, Spain. And there's planes and boats now searching the area between Tazacortes and where the Duchess had interacted with the El Fausto. And the second search for the El Fausto would be the largest missing person search in Spain's history.
Wow.
So okay. They were like, maximum effort to find these guys because they knew they were alive. Like they were literally just there, right?
And now they've got the food and the water.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
So the search lasted for about a week, and once again, no signs of the El Fausto were located, and the vessel was officially called Lost at Sea on August 7th, 1968.
Jesus.
Until October 9th, 1968. Yep. So 2 months had passed since the El Fausto crew had gone missing, and their friends and family were adjusting to this new normal. They're like, they're gone.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. That is so traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything more awful to be like, oh, we found them. And then, oh my God. And like, I'm just like,
and they're
so
coming back.
Sorry to these families.
I know.
It's fucked. Okay, it go on. Fucked. Oh my God.
So yeah, 2 months have passed. And in the Atlantic Ocean, an Italian merchant ship named the Anna Di Maio was en route to Venezuela.
Wow.
And that is when they spot something on the horizon.
Jesus.
When the ship got closer, they saw that it was a small fishing vessel, one that is not meant to be on the open ocean.
Mm-hmm. We discussed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they noticed that the ship's call sign on the side of the boat, which was TE21268.
Okay.
Her name was Fausto.
No, that's crazy. How did they get out there? Maybe they were running.
I don't know.
To, or maybe they're doing crimes.
I don't think so. There's nothing nefarious about these men.
Okay.
These are just like average dudes.
Okay. Strange.
So the boat was still in good shape and didn't seem to be taking on any water or have any damage that would make it seaworthy. There was nothing wrong.
There was nothing wrong
with
the boat.
There was nothing wrong with the boat.
Okay.
Two sailors from the Anna Di Maio went on board the El Fausto, and there was no one on the deck or in the cabin. Along with no obvious damage, there was also not a logbook or a ledger on board.
Mm.
I think we talked about this with the Mary Celeste, where like there was the ledger and that like added to the mystery. This is like there just isn't one on the boat,
but it
which
is
there
a
should
thing
be.
It's yeah, it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so there's like no clues about what was happening in that sense.
Maybe someone took it with them.
Mm-hmm. So then the two sailors from the Anna then climbed down into the engine room of the ship. And they find a body.
Okay.
So the body was of a man lying face up next to the engine of the ship with a transistor radio next to him.
Oh.
The man was naked and had been dead for some time. It was partially mummified.
Naked?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Naked and partially mummified.
Well, 2 months later on that, whatever, weather that.
I think, yeah, just kind of the climate.
Okay.
Caused it. So this is when one of the Anna sailors goes back to their ship and says that they need to radio that they found a body in the El Fausto. The other sailor stays on the Fausto trying to see if they can find anyone else or any clues of what has happened.
Jeez.
So that's when a small notebook is found, presumably belonging to the dead man in the engine room.
You'd think so.
Because it was close to him.
Uh-huh.
And so inside the notebook, there were some simple math equations and calculations and notes written in Spanish.
I've never heard this story in my life.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So there were also a good number of pages ripped out of the notebook.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It turned out to be 28 pages ripped out.
God damn it. Okay.
And the last page that had writing on it seemed to be some sort of farewell. But the sailor couldn't read Spanish fully, so he wasn't sure what it said initially.
Where did the sailor come from?
They were Italian. It was an Italian ship. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had to think of that for a second. God, you really threw me for a rope.
You got them.
Okay. So the sailor also finds a few insurance documents, and so he grabs that along with the notebook and goes back to the Anna Di Maio. He's like, I'm getting off this boat.
Yeah, I've seen enough. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so by this time, and so this isn't the only body found in the boat. There's only one body found.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
A mystery.
Mystery. Okay. Yeah, okay. So by this time, news of the Fausto had reached La Palma and Tazacortes, and the families of Miguel, Julio Ramon, and El Bierto, and they hope that an autopsy done on the body can hopefully provide some answers.
Which one of them was it?
They don't know.
They don't know yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I don't think you told me, but I just want to make sure I didn't miss it. Okay.
We'll get to that, actually. Okay. So the Anna Di Maio secures the Fausto to their ship and begins towing it back to Venezuela because they're on the way to Venezuela. It's closer, right? And they also tell the authorities that they will ship the documents found on the boat that they grabbed back to Tazacortes.
Okay.
So they're doing their due diligence, right?
Everyone is, honestly, the people that spend their lives on the water seem like salt of the earth fucking people.
They really do, honestly. Mm-hmm. I would trust a sailor.
I know. I think they do kind of like a naughty, salty energy, though.
A little bit, yeah.
I feel like it's a not a PC type of a working environment.
No, for sure. Yeah. So However, on October 11th, 1968, Spanish authorities get an unfortunate telegram. The crew of the Ana de Mayo say that some point in the night, the Fausto had sank bow first.
No fucking way.
And it had sunk so rapidly that it ripped the tow line down with her. It just plummets after being towed.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
Okay.
So the body that was discovered on the Fausto had stayed on the ship, which means that the body and the vessel were both lost at sea.
Someone is lying. Again. I'm like, this is not possible.
The only clues now to shine some light on what happened was the notebook.
Okay.
And the like insurance documents that had been brought back on the Ana de Mayo. So once the notebook reaches Tazacortes, it is shown to the families of the lost crew. That is when Julio's wife, Luz, it's spelled L-U-Z, so it's Luz.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So she confirms that it was Julio's notebook. So it's presumed that the body is probably Julio.
Okay.
So Julio's final message gives directions on how to access his insurance policies and what type of assets and properties Luz can sell to have some money for their family. He's like, here are some directions of like how to make sure you're okay, which is very sweet.
Yeah.
And then the note ends with this quote, "Don't ever tell," and it's the name of their son, but I redacted it, "all that has happened to me. You know that God wanted this fate for me. Huh? Love you." That's what it ends with.
What the fuck happened?
I know.
Oh my God.
So Julio's notebook unfortunately doesn't shed any light on what led the crew to be this lost at sea for three fucking times.
That is insane.
And why they had it, like, just like what happened. There's nothing in there. So some people think that maybe the 28 pages that were ripped out maybe had some details, and for some reason those were ripped out.
Who ripped them out?
Who rips them out? Huh. Yeah. So it's all a little bit of speculation, unfortunately. So it's pretty much agreed upon that the body found in the Fausto was probably that of Julio, like I said, and that the three other men, honestly, anyone's guess what the hell happened to them.
Why did it sink like that?
Great fucking question.
And where was it? Like, they can't send like a little submarine of billionaires in the Atlantic. Down there?
Got it. Okay.
So good luck.
I would send some people in a submarine down there.
I think he's done enough. Have him right here either. Like, I don't need to.
We didn't talk about that in the pod, so no one knows the context.
It's fine. Carry on.
Okay. So we know what happened to the boat, right? But there are still just these big questions surrounding the case. So I didn't really like make a theory section because we know what happened. I guess I made, instead of a theory section, I made a questions corner.
A question?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're taking this up.
Hold on. Can you describe what questions corner looks like? Is it can I tell you what I think questions corner looks like? We're in someone's basement where there's wood paneling. There's a couch. Yarn. It's very groovy. Mm-hmm. There's a kind of a purpley glow from like a lava lamp. You saw the hand motion.
Yeah.
There's one of those like checkered flower blankets hanging over the couch
that someone's grandma crocheted.
Yes. And wallpaper for sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh sorry. It's paneling, but maybe Evan's clothing looks like
half paneling, half wallpaper.
Stunning. It's cozy.
We got off the reefer boat, went into the questions corner in the basement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it there.
I love it too. So,
Questions corner.
So the first and biggest one for me is, why didn't they just get towed back to Tazacortes by the Duchess in July? Why did they just say yes?
There's no way to know that.
Why didn't they just be like, hey,
no, there's
this
no
is
way
what
to
happened. This is why we're fucking out here.
No,
they wouldn't tell them. They would not tell them. What? Why?
Someone is lying about something. That's, I mean, like, someone just feels, it seems like lies.
Or is it ego?
It could be.
it feels like a little bit like maybe ego, because things are wrong, like, with it.
But you also told me that when, like, the Italians found it, that there was nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it was still floating.
And then it sank out of nowhere.
I don't know if, like, something happened in the toe and, like, maybe they didn't want to admit it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It seems like this boat is cursed to shit.
But if it, like, sailing for, like, 20 fucking years, I don't know.
Maybe bad juju. Maybe someone brought some bad juju on board. Maybe it was Julio.
Bad juju on board.
Julio brought the juju.
No, that's the bad
varietal.
God damn. Okay.
But that's my first big question, right?
Okay, first big question. Yeah, that's a good question. Very great question.
Like, I can imagine, like I said, like, men with directions are, like, they want to ask. I'm not trying to stereotype, but...
Maybe I am. I was like, listen, it's a reference that like truly we don't understand anymore.
No, I know.
Because no one needs to ask for directions, because that shit is on your phone.
Or maybe where something is in the store.
I think a man doesn't even grocery shop.
Okay.
That's not true. They do. I'm sorry. Yeah. Now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
There you go. Look at you.
It just, like, okay. Why?
No, it's very odd.
In why,
for a reason. Yeah. There must be a reason.
Right. There had to be a reason. Like, why also wouldn't they just tell them what was going on?
Mm-hmm. Just be like, oh, you know, like, this fucking belt broke and we had to fix it. Now it's fixed so we can make it back. There wasn't any of that. Mm-hmm. They just, like, were dodging the question in a super weird way. And, like, the Duchess crew was like, this is fucking weird. But they're like, you guys seem fine. Here's your stuff. Mm-hmm. Good luck, you know? So, another big question. Why didn't Julio push back to get towed back to Tazacortes initially? He was worried he's worried about his daughter.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, that's the whole reason why he's on that boat. He's like, get me back to my kid. Like, I have to go, you know, help my wife. And they also have the kid, another kid. Like,
no, I hadn't thought about that until you said it. But yeah, I completely...
I mean, maybe he felt like he couldn't, like, because these guys did him a favor. He didn't, like, want to overstep.
I don't know. Very strange.
It's very strange.
Because, if he's like, this is what I'm here for, they're not going to, like, please, yeah. Oh, except, I don't know. Maybe it is, like,
I don't want to inconvenience you.
To take one guy all the way back when you're headed the other direction, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Potentially. Okay,
like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, make a problem.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, that makes sense. These are not, like, it's not just, like, driving down the road.
Right, yeah. You're like, you can't just, like, drop me off on the way.
Weeks at a time.
Yeah, like, I can't get an Uber or something. I mean, no, this was hours. This has been hours.
But to the Netherlands?
Oh, for those guys. But, like, I'm saying to get to Tazacortes and back.
Yeah, so he's like, this is the quickest route just to stay on this boat, and we're going to go.
Yeah.
So maybe he believed that it would be fine.
Maybe he did. But, like, why is everyone being so dodgy?
Don't know.
Why the dodginess?
I don't know.
And so, another question. What happened the second fucking time after they got refueled and were going back to Tazacortes? What happened again? And, like, how were they not found? Like, immediately. They had planes and boats and everyone's searching for them. And, like, just why did they make it back to Tazacortes the second time?
But no one ever heard from them.
Mm-mm.
I feel like I'm suspicious of the first boat that ran into them.
The Duchess?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because those are the only people that... I don't know, because I'm just like, if that was a lie...
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm always inclined to be like...
Everyone's a dirty liar.
Yeah, I just think people do things for, like, their own reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, like... Maybe they, like, is there a way that the boat ended up in the Atlantic Ocean kind of, like, untethered?
I think so, if it's just floating.
So, like, maybe something went down.
Between the Duchess and the Falstone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And maybe that wasn't exactly true. Like, I have no reason to suspect they were lying, but, like, it makes sense that, like, that would be a lie. If that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That they gave them all they were, like, such good Samaritans, and they gave them all this and they sent them on their way.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's a good cover. Like, we gave it to them. We sent them on their way. They're great.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some, I'm just like, it's giving, like, there was a partnership. There was a smuggle. There was a crime. There was
I see where you're going.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's something I was investigating this, I would look at the relationship between those two boats and the people attached to those boats.
Maybe some illegal cheese.
Exactly.
In the legal cheese trade. Oh. Sorry, not to make fun of what happened, but I mean, I feel like
that's a theory.
That is a good actual theory.
Because it's like less hokey than aliens and ghosts and it's
a
like,
portal.
Yeah. Yes. It's less hokey.
But it's a you portal. Know, I do love the portal.
I do. A dimensional rift.
I do.
It kind of tracks.
Okay, I love that. But the other one is like a little more practical. This is what happens on life right. on Earth. But
it
I
would be
love that idea.
Two very different shows. Two yeah. very different movies. Two very different Netflix miniseries.
1,000%. But I like yours better. That's a whimsical ass. But it sounds bad, unfortunately.
I mean, yeah, like a weird fucking portal situation. Dimensional rift.
That's the theory.
And it's kind of not. It's not. It's not.
It's
the same
thing that I think is fun. Okay, gotcha.
And the Mary Celeste also had some weird shit happen near Spain.
Listen, if
is it Spain?
Weird shit is happening on this planet. We've literally got the land covered in most places except Antarctica. Mm-hmm. The ocean is bound to be the place that the weird
yeah,
shit is
the
happening.
Weird shit's happening.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There's just simply so much. Space
yeah, yeah.
for things to be going on.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And I think my last thing in my questions or in our questions basement library corner.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Questions corner.
Questions corner. Is how did no one see them
from when the they, air?
From the air when they went missing the second time?
I don't know. I
because
was thinking...
the first time is like they waited a couple of those like a day or two. The second time was immediate.
The second time I thought, I wonder if there's like something about the color of the water and the specific color of the boat. Does it make it harder to see?
I don't know.
I would think people would be trained for these types of mm-hmm. things, but I don't know. That was what I was thinking as you were telling me the story. I was like, I don't know. The boat was kind of greenish.
If that's the correct color. Yeah.
If it did it blend in a weird way? I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I feel like you would. I don't know.
There's got to be a way to identify. About
yeah.
Them.
I think there's like buoys and stuff and like lights and.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, there's a bunch of shit and like flags and
damn.
There's a lot of shit in the boats. I think that you could indicate from the air.
I sure, think. And it's like
for a reason. Just like,
I think yeah, an anomaly in
yeah,
general,
right? Like it's just
but
a
I don't
big,
know.
Just like a dot in a big blue,
mm-hmm.
you know, a white dot, right, on a
sure.
piece of big blue paper.
You see the orange from the buoy or whatever.
Yeah, like it's just I don't know.
It's spooky.
It's yeah. very weird.
Like very weird.
This is often called the ship that went missing three times.
Yes, that's so upsetting.
I know, for the families.
Yes.
Yeah, and like
the sinking is so odd.
It's very odd. It's almost like the boat didn't want you to know what happened.
Completely.
Yeah, the boat's like, no, you can't have this.
Wow.
Yeah. So decades later, the El Fausto remains a story with an ending, but no clear explanation. No real answers, no recovered crew, only fragments of a truth. Adrift in rumor and speculation. The Atlantic has long been a keeper of secrets, and in 1968 it claimed four men from the Canaries, leaving behind a riddle that refuses to be solved. In the silence that follows, one question still lingers: what really happened to the El Fausto? And that is the mysterious disappearance of the El Fausto.
I am stumped.
Right?
It's
perplexed.
Weird.
It's weird.
Puzzled.
It would be weird if it went missing one time.
No, the three times is just torture.
The three times.
Awful. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that story. Oh, sad.
I hate that story.
Thanks, Ahimit.
Thank you for the knowledge.
You're welcome.
The wisdom.
Yeah.
I guess stay off the ocean, dog.
I do. Any I chance I get. Like, I like it, but I like to look at it.
Right. Yeah. You want to stand on the shore and stare.
I mean, but I also stand on the shore and stare, and then I'm like, God, what if the asteroid, like, imagine the wall of water. Mm-hmm. That, what if it happens while I'm standing here?
Anytime I'm on the coast, I think about a tsunami.
I am fucking terrified every time I'm on the coast. And we're going to the coast.
We are going to the coast.
So now
soon.
You know that we will both be silently
terrified. Have a little
terrified.
Bit of anxiety.
Because you're just like, that shit is big.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a tiny little ant mm-hmm. right here mm-hmm. next to this vastness of the mm-hmm. ocean. It's humbling and it's actually very refreshing. It's very nice.
Yes. It makes you feel not insignificant, but like.
It makes you feel like your shit doesn't really matter.
That's what I meant mm-hmm. to say. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Your shit doesn't matter.
Your shit is insignificant.
Yes.
We are not, but like, whatever you're dealing with is yeah. insignificant. So I agree.
Yeah.
And that's why people who live near the ocean are happier and live longer.
Because you're just like,
they got that salt cool. in the air. Mm-hmm. They got that their electrolytes just floating around.
It's true.
And in the molecules.
Well, thank you for the story.
You're welcome. It's a weird one, like I said. But yeah, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week. Be sure to, you know, do the things. Rate, review, subscribe. Drink some water. Take a vitamin. I do recommend
drinking water.
Yeah, maybe put in some sunscreen. It is summertime. Just take care of yourself. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah. Let that insignificant shit
go.
And until next time,
stay grimly curious. That was fucking inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
'Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.